Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight. A reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join in with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and, with luck, wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realm. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, spiritual intuits, and that list goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, take your shoes off. Share your lights with us and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Deb Schiller and Jen Young tonight, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. We're going to be doing readings shortly, and if you would like to call in for one, the number's 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long. It does fill up fast. Deb is the co-host tonight, and you can find her in the chat room as Barbara DeLong Coho. I think it's actually co-host, but it only says Coho. And she's the one you aim your questions at. She can talk to you about where you are in the queue and stuff like that. I don't multitask, so you're up a creek without a paddle if you send one to me. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to learn more about that amazing voice. I'm at barbaradelong.com, and our guest tonight, Jen Young, is at jenyoungsite.com. blogspot.com. Now, before we get involved in readings and heavy discussions on Lord knows what, I have some shows that I want to share with you because I highly recommend them to those who are seeking spiritual surroundings and insight and wisdom and people who I feel are authentic and genuine. With so many shows on Blog Talk Radio, I think, I don't know, there have to be thousands of them. Sometimes it's hard to decide where you want to share your time, invest your energy in, and put your stuff on the table. And these are the shows that I love and frequent often because of the quality of the material, the spiritual energy, and the genuine sincerity of the hosts that actually do host these shows. And let me see, Spirit of the Radio, they're all on Blog Talk. You're going to have to check Blog Talk Radio for their times because they all flip around as much as I do, so it's hard to tell exactly where or when they are. Spirit of the Radio is on Sundays, and it's hosted by Ray Booker and medium Sarah May. They're both British mediums, and they're phenomenal. They're amazing, and they have such a wonderful, lighthearted manner, and both of them are excellent, excellent mediums. So, and I love Ray because he always seems to bring through music of some sort, and he actually does sing. So he's a lot of fun. On Tuesdays and Fridays and sometimes Saturdays and whatever time she just flips around too, is that amazing, amazing medium Renee Richards. And her show is Psychic Medium Renee Richards. And again, so gifted that it's unbelievable. She can pull the most unusual, unique names out of the hat. She has dumbfounded me any number of times and does to the callers as well. Her material is amazing and accurate and profoundly, she's amazing. I don't know how she does it, but it is definitely something to tune into and listen to and call in and get a reading from her because she's spectacular. Every evening, rain or shine, 7 days a week from 10 to 12 Eastern Time is Curious Times, hosted by Chris of Curious Times. It's an amazingly wonderful show. It's a place to take your hair down and put your feet up and enjoy yourself and relax. It has she has on a tremendously wide variety of people that come on the show. She has open mic nights, so those people who are just getting into the field have a safe setting to try to hone their craft at. And there's always laughter. There's always support. She actually one of the frequent callers, attendees, I guess she's a chat room person rather than just a caller-inner, got married, and we actually were able to listen to the exchange of the vows on Chris's show, and it was probably one of the dearest, sweetest things I've ever heard. It was just a joy. On Wednesdays, I believe at 5 o'clock Eastern, is Paranormal Psychic Radio with Solana and Christina Nelson. It's a new show, but the both of them are just spectacular, and they have characters you wouldn't believe, and they bring very interesting people onto the show. They also do readings. Byte Radio Me is hosted by Robert, and I'm not sure when his show is on, but he is just such a delightful man, and he has such an exquisite taste in bringing spectacular people to his show and putting them before you. So it's a wonderful show. You'll learn a lot. Absolutely, you'll learn a lot. Heavenly Whispers is the Reverend Ann Rose, and she is an extraordinarily talented lady as well. And then Supernatural Radio Show is Corrine DeWinner, and she is the Purple Plate Lady. And as Chris often says, she's at www.purpleplates.com for the Tesla Purple Plates, and it's a great website. Go out and go check it out because it's magnetic energy and it's Tesla energy, and it's really quite spectacular. And if you've never experienced it, you would learn a lot, and you would find that there was a tremendous amount of new material that you have open to you. I think I think one of the great things about this field is that we're constantly growing. It's not that it's new material, it's that we're waking up to the fact that there's new stuff out there. And it's not new, but it's been out there for a long time, kind of just waiting for us to get to a point where we would be able to absorb it. So it's a wonderful, wonderful time to stretch yourself, try on some of these new shows. If they fit, fantastic. Just follow them, and then the show will actually notify you when it's going to be on. And by the way, I am on regularly on Chris's Curious Times every Sunday night. Christina Nelson is on every Monday night, so she'll be on tonight. And Jen Young, my co-host today, is there on Thursday nights. So it's sort of like we support one another, and it's all cool and it's very exciting. So if you have any questions, you know, email me, BarbaraDeLong@gmail.com. If I can help in any way, I'd be happy to. So we have Jen Young here. She's in Canada, and she lives on the West Coast on an island, poor thing. And she's an amazingly gentle spirit soul. She has a dry wit that is to die for, and she has an amazing ability to really kind of go to the core of whatever the issue is. She's a wonderfully, wonderfully gentle spirit, talented, gifted, insightful, and wise. Always a pleasure to share time with her. And so we got Jen here. Hi, Jen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Barbara. Thank you for having me. Thank you for asking. I lie.
What, it's not an honor to be here? Of course it is.
It's a great honor to be here. It's been one of those hectic days and a topsy-turvy day, as I said to my oldest. I just talked to him, and the computer's been freezing and doing bizarre things. It's a topsy-turvy day. A few people have experienced that, so I'm not sure what is in the air, but something sure is. Holy smokes. At least on the West Coast it is. So.
Oh, well, I'm going to put a link into the chat room.
I can't even get into the chat room, which is just bizarro, Mario.
You know what? It says you're here. According to me, you're in the chat room.
Well, I'm glad I am, because I can't see anything, and it's just trying to get me in there, and I'm fit to be tied, actually.
Don't be tied. When you can get in, let me know, and I'll send you this link. Oh, well, wait, I'll even try it this way. I put a link into the chat room that shows you where the most current earthquakes have been, and it is amazing. Up around Alaska, they've had a couple of 8-point, and then off the coast of New Zealand, they've had a ton of them. And we're talking eights eights on the Richter scale. and it's just, you know, that those are heavy duty earthquakes, and
those are.
You know, and if you look at by Alaska and then by New Zealand, that's in the Ring of Fire, and the Ring of Fire, of course, is that ring around the Pacific Rim there that you know, for some reason, is more active than a lot. But the site that I put into the chat room is, and I did send it to you, and someday you'll get it. It shows all of the earthquakes that have happened, and there are huge ones that have happened today. And it's really a little disquieting. I think I just messed something up. No, I didn't. I'm here. It is one of those days. You're absolutely right. I have been kind of going around in circles myself. So have you sold your house
there
yet?
There I am.
Yes.
Wow. This is just bizarre. Anyhow, I'm there. I don't know what happened. It's working. It's great. And there I am. I'm found. I once was lost, and now I'm found.
Was blind, but now you see?
Oh, I know. I put on my glasses. It's amazing what happened.
It does clear up the picture a lot, doesn't it?
It does.
That's a little scary, Jen.
I know. I had a dream the other day, or whatever it is, you know, you fall asleep, and I had to have a nap. I was just worn out, and I remember trying to wake up. You know how you get in those states? It's like, I don't know, you're waking up and you're trying to think. You're saying to yourself, okay, wake up now. It's like, get out of this dream or whatever you're doing. And I know what it's called, but I can't even think at the moment. And I remember saying, I can't see. I can't see. And it's like an out-of-body experience, and yet it's not. And I said, oh, I know why I can't see, because my eyelids are turned inside out.
Oh, my.
I know, and I thought, this is so weird. Like, why would I even think that? And I just thought, oh, just leave it. Just go back to sleep. Like, just get the rest you need. You obviously need the rest, you know. You're being told to sleep. You're being told to heal. You know, just do what you're supposed to do. Don't try and do anything else. And I just let myself go back to sleep. But, you know, I don't know. I'm sure everyone else has experienced that, you know, trying to wake yourself up and being told, no, don't do that. Just let yourself be sleeping, you know. Don't do anything else. Let yourself heal for whatever reasons.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because I would say that this last couple of weeks has been a crazy time. It's just the energy has been profound. And, you know, I don't want to be one of these flaky people that goes around talking about the energy. But the energy has been phenomenal. My computers go wacko on me. I try to send a file, and what I send does not turn up where I sent it. And when I save stuff, it's not what I saved it as. And it's like, I'm not crazy. I've been doing this for a long time. I do understand the computer as far as saving files. And it's just amazing. It's like the electronics are going wacko. And you know, tonight is the biggest full moon of the year, too. So I would say anything today that you may feel out of sorts with is because the moon, I think, is closest to the planets, and it's going to be for the rest of the year, something like that.
Oh, really?
So the pull on us is just amazing, you know, because we do have that connection with you know, we're 90% water, and this is one of those full moon nights where the tides will be excessively high because the moon is so much closer to the earth, so that the tides are excessively high. I mean, you know, it can be frightening. I used to live on the water, and you know, we weren't really worried about hurricanes so much, but we were worried about nor'easters. And if they hit at full moon, high tide, we knew we were in for disaster. And that was usually, you know, absolutely the case. You know, all hell broke loose because everything was so, you know, incredibly, it was an overload. Now, I live on a pond now, so I don't have the tides. I do miss the saltwater tides, however. There's just something about it that I even miss low tide, which is sick. But you know, it's there's something about the water. But because of the moon, I am finding that even my a plane is landing in my house. did you hear it?
Yes, I did. I was running outside,
like,
looking at all these planes and helicopters yesterday.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot going on here. It's a little frightening. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, I thought you went away because it was so quiet. So have you sold your house? Are you moving yet?
No, we haven't sold the house. I have to get some letters out. I was trying to... I'm trying to move on it. I know I have to... you know how you have to clear and pack stuff up? And I know I've got to do all this, and it's like getting it prepared for selling. And it's like, oh, my word. Like, oh, my word. It means decluttering. And there's not a lot of clutter, but it is having to put stuff away and box stuff up so when people come in to look, they look and they go, oh, isn't that lovely? And it's like, really? Really? Like, you're not looking at the house because whoever buys the property will probably just knock the house down and use the land for what they intend to do with it anyhow. And it's certainly not going to be used for residential.
Oh, that's
cool. So, you know, they'll probably use the big shop my husband has built and the suite on top of it. I don't anticipate anyone using the house. They will probably subdivide and put different buildings up, but they.
Doesn't that kind of break your heart a little bit because it's been home for quite a while?
It does in a sense, but not in other senses. No, because the land has given us what it has.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to explain. It's treated us well. The land has treated us very well. It's done its job, and it's time to move on. And I think that, you know, when the horse moved off, when the peacock left of its own accord, when different animals move on, then, you know, it's time that we move on.
Mm-hmm.
So even when the property has said, you know, it's time, it's done its job, then I can feel good about it. The land will take care of itself. I'm going to be sad to go in a sense because we have lived such a large part of our life here and it's where my kids grew up, definitely. But it's not the same at all. It's not what anyone anticipated when we moved here. No one anticipated it being an industrial site. You know, it was forestry when we moved up here, not industrial. So, you know, that's changed so much.
Don't you think when anybody goes through a move of a household, of a home, that, I mean, it's a profound experience. It's closing the door, in a way, on a part of your life. I know when I moved to Connecticut from Westchester, I had been in the house in Westchester for 50 years. And I found the packing painful. You know, the memories that came back, rushing back with stuff. And a good painful, but still in all, you know, it was like closing a door on a time in my life. And then, of course, having to unpack everything I had packed, realizing I was not a very good packer, I might add, it took me 2 years to actually unpack and rearrange my life. And it is upheaval, tremendously, but when you have to move, when you feel that it's time to move on to a new place, whether it's land or an apartment or a condo or a cave, it's a new phase of your life that's starting out, too. It's not just, you know, a new residence. It's a time in your life, and it is far more profound than just shifting stuff from one place to another. It's starting a new time in your life, and it is a time to declutter, absolutely, and then open yourself up to the potential that the new dwelling offers to you as far as, you know, where does the universe want me to go now? I mean, I've shifted my roots, basically, And so what happens now? Do I have to, you know, kind of till the soil for a while, till my roots take hold? Or, you know, it's more than just a physical move in the physical. There's an etheric and there's a spiritual aspect to shifting your dwelling place, your sanctuary, and it's a big deal.
It is. It's so huge. Like I said, we've lived here for 25 years. It was, you know, you drive down a long driveway and there's trees, there's a mountain behind us, there is, you know, huge fir trees. My husband built his big tree fort with a rope ladder through the floor, like a trap door in the floor that the kids would go in, and there's forts all over that the kids have used for paintballing or just, you know, hiding in so they could spy or do whatever. And, you know, we come across them and we laugh because all that's going to be left behind. You know, certainly you take your memories and we still come across some, you know, what we call the cedar grove or whatever. And, you know, we've got this pond of sorts that's on the property, and we call it missing in the mist, just this grove of alder trees, and they're all growing up now, and there's salmon berries and whatever, and you can't even walk through it. But when the kids were little, we'd bushwhack and cut a path through this overgrowth bush to get through. And the, you know, these little, well, I guess my daughter must have been, well, she was crawling, so she was 18 months and our son was 3, nearly 4. So they'd be, you know, we'd take them down to the pond, as we called it, and we'd cut a patch for them to go. And then the youngest came along, and that was where we'd spend most of our weekends, just, you know, in the bush. It was what we did. You know, my husband built the barn, and then he built the shop, and then we'd take down an old building and replace it. And if we took a tree down, then we'd plant a tree in its place. It is going to be extremely profound and in a sense, difficult to leave, but at the same time, I think it's going to be rich and rewarding because it's what we've wanted for the last few years. It's what we've worked towards because of all the changes that have been going on around here. It's been really difficult to see the hard changes to the environment and what we haven't really supported. I've worried about the land. I've worried about the critters, me and my critters, like, you know. There's going to be, you know, I've worked hard to get this done, and now it's like I'm dragging my feet for the next step to get the letters out to say, you know, are you still interested in the property, or, you know, the land's going up for sale.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
When you are ready to actually move, take a jar and take some of the soil from your old home to your new home, and then mix the soil in so that you take your old home with you.
Oh, what a great idea.
And, you know, I mean, I'd take a couple of buckets and I'd make a small little garden and just put a memory bush there or something that you take with you. I mean, you know, I'd take the dirt and then I'd mix it in with the soil in the new place and plant a tree or a memory bush or something like that that sort of, you know, connects you to home.
What I was going to do actually is take some plants.
You know, you probably could. I know that I came 60 miles further north. I did bring plants, and they couldn't handle the winter here. It's so much more severe than it was down by the coast.
We don't know where we're going. We have no idea. We never thought we'd move here. We put an offer in on something else before we moved here, and then we were just sort of called here. We drove past, we drove in, we thought we'd like it, and my husband had the day off, and he came and looked at it, and he said to the realtor, "I like it, Jennifer will love it, put an offer in." And the realtor said, "Oh, you can't do that without, you know, Jennifer seeing it." And Ron said, "Oh, certainly we can." And he said, "Well, that's really unusual." Ron said, "Doesn't matter, she'll love it. Do it. Put it in today." And that's how we got this. So I anticipate something like that's going to happen with the next. To us, when you see it, you know.
Uh-huh.
It all falls into place.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So...
I'm sure that, you know, in divine time it will happen. I know my sister, when I was selling the house down in Westchester, it was on the market for a while, and my sister came down and visited me, and she had this little brass clock that had a clock on the roof. And she took my hand and she put it in my hand, and she said, "When the time is right, the house will sell." And, you know, my sister is not often profound, nor do I often give her credit for it when it happens. But this time I have to, because she was absolutely right. It sold at the right time, and everything just flowed. And, you know, once I got over my anxiety attack about having to actually, you know, wash floors and vacuum every morning, just in case somebody wanted to show the house, you know, that was 7 months of not fun. And the day after the house sold, the vacuum cleaner exploded. So it was like it just went, "Oh, thank God she's not going to try to use me again." I am not, you know, when it comes to cleaning, it is not a gift of mine. I didn't get that gene. And at one time, I bought a carpet sweeper. You remember those that you just roll on the floor? And I was so proud of myself, and I was rolling around, and I was, you know, really, I have always had a cleaning lady. If I had to not get clothes for a while so I could have a cleaning lady, I have always had a cleaning lady. And she was a good friend as well, and her name was Carmel, and I showed it to her. I said, "Look at this. I can, you know, I'm really, you know, I'm making your job so much easier." And she said to me, "How do you empty it?" And I said, "What?" She said, "Well, how do you empty it?" And I said, what do you mean? And she said, "It's picking stuff up. How do you empty it?" And I looked, it never occurred to me that you would empty it. And I don't know where I thought it was going, but I said, "I have not got the faintest idea. I guess I thought it just ate it up and it pooped fresh air or something. I don't know." And it took her a little while, but she did figure out how to empty it. She did show me, but I never actually did empty it. I just let her be disgusted and empty it once a week. But
that is so funny. I never even thought about those old, whatever you call them, being emptied. Isn't that funny? Because everybody used them, didn't they?
Absolutely. And you know, I remember my grandmother using one, my mother using one. And I thought, you know, and these were little, so they would go under things, you know. And,
oh, yeah.
And it just never occurred to me that there was, obviously it was picking stuff up. I don't know why it never occurred to me that somewhere it had to be stored and then emptied. But that was one of the moments where my brain totally froze. And I looked an idiot.
That is so funny. That is so funny. Well, no, I've got a couple of people have asked us, to me, it's just like, oh, it's the cleaning. I can't, you know, I love vacuuming, adore vacuuming. To me, it's just really not stressful. It's just another way of just letting your mind wander and you just do it. But the other stuff, please, please, I've got better things in my life to do than do this stuff, really.
Well, you know, I'm just not good at it, and I think I'm intentionally not good at it. Some people enjoy it. I have never gotten joy from it. Patrick used to love to do laundry. And again, go for it. You know? I just, you know, if I catch something right out of the dryer, then it doesn't have to be ironed. And if something has to be ironed, most probably it's not going to be. So,
well, then you just throw it back in with a wet towel or something and the wrinkles fall.
Exactly. Or you know, I use this often too, probably not the wisest thing to tell everyone, but I would say, well, it looked ironed when I put it on, you know, kind of like, you know.
My friend.
Or if there's a stain and somebody points it out to you, has the audacity to point it out to you, it's like, oh, my God, I don't know when that happened. You know, like maybe 2 or 3 years ago or something, but it's still there.
That's funny. My friend Anne would always say, permanent press. She said that's where they invented it. And she'd take them right out of her dryer, and she had a rack. She made her husband put a rack above her dryer, and she'd whip them out and hang them up right away. And she goes, there you go. She was English. She was like a mom to me, and I loved her dearly. And I miss her to this day. And she'd say, there you go, Jenny. There you go. That's how you do it. Don't you iron.
No.
And I just laughed. I'd laugh, and she goes, and if you have to, you make sure your husband knows how.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we have a couple of people here in line, and I kind of want to reiterate to anybody who's calling in or thinking of calling in that there is a new policy here, and you're not allowed to ask a question. You can call in and get a reading, and Jen and I will give you what Spirit gives us or what we are inspired to say to you, however you want to put it. It is my humble opinion that you know, Jen has lots of years working in the field. I do too. And sometimes, most of the time, when we have mundane reality things going on, that there's probably something spiritual behind or beneath it, that if you address the spiritual aspect, the mundane reality becomes easier. And if you ask a specific question, you absolutely put blinders on the readers, that they can't give you the wonderful stuff that they've got to give you. So we're going to bring people online one at a time. We'll get your name. We'll talk to you so we get your energy. And we will give you what we are inspired to give you from Spirit. It could be a past life. It could be mediumship. It could be a recipe for jam. Who knows?
Disaster.
You know? I have yet to have disaster come forward at this point in time, but you may be the first if you want to. We've got Emily on the phone here. Hi, Emily. How are you doing today?
Hi, guys. Oh. Thank you for having me.
Hi, it's a pleasure. I'm hopeful that Deb explained to you that you can't ask a question, that we're going to give you what we get.
Sure.
Okay. So, the first thing, I keep seeing a past life for you. I keep seeing a past life for you, and it feels like you were homesteading, but you weren't homesteading in this country. Mm. I believe you were homesteading in Australia or New Zealand. And this goes back probably 400 years, maybe five. And you were in, I would say that the dwelling that you lived in was pretty crude, but you were so happy. It was probably, you know, what I feel is a tremendous sense of joy. You were one with nature. You were not crowded. You had plenty of space between you and your neighbor or neighbors, and you had a great sense of freedom and a great sense of not being squished. Originally, I think that from what I can tell here, you were originally from, I believe, Ireland, And you and your husband took a ship with very few belongings, and you ended up in, I think it was New Zealand, the more I think about it.
Oh.
And you found a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful plot of acreage or land, and you homesteaded it. You farmed. You had cattle and sheep and chickens and horses and stuff like that. And it was almost, it was such a blissful place. It was unbelievable. That lifetime, you had four or five children, and they all grew up healthy and happy. They all got I want to call it homesteads. They got land grant types things around you so that your children and your grandchildren were all very, very close to you. It was a lifetime in which you were able to excel in not only your domestic stuff, and I'm not talking cleaning, I'm talking, you know, canning and cooking and things like that. You loved making things for your family. You actually even wove your own cloth and made your own clothes, and you just, it was a lifetime where there was such bliss and such joy and such wonder it was almost as though you just couldn't believe that you were so blessed. And that joy, that absolute bliss is inside you this lifetime. And it does feel as though you are looking for a time and a space where you can spread your wings, literally. I feel right at the moment you feel a tad claustrophobic, and you just kind of want to break out of whatever it is that is holding you in place so that you can spread your wings. I want to take you back probably 1,200 years to another past lifetime where you, again, in this lifetime, you were male. And again, there is this love of the earth, love of nature, love of what you hated to see anything, any tree cut down or anything like that. You lived in, and in this lifetime, you were in Australia. So the Australia stuff comes in here. You were someone who sought isolation. And not because you didn't like people, it's just because you liked the isolation, because you liked listening to spirit. This particular lifetime that I'm talking about, you know, back 1,200 years ago, you had a direct communication with that spirit within. And so you not only were able to communicate with yourself, and it was a lifetime where you were more of a philosopher than anything else. You lived very simply, and you loved listening to yourself. Not talking out loud, but listening to what spirit was sharing with you from within yourself. And it wasn't that you traveled to past lifetimes because you didn't, but you listened to the wisdom the spirit had gathered. Now, towards the end of that lifetime, you experienced what I would call interdimensional phasing. In other words, you had times in which you felt yourself almost go through a vortex of a type, and you were able to look into other dimensions. And you know, you did not share that information because, of course, everyone would have thought you were stark raving mad. But you bring that understanding and that curiosity and that knowledge that there are other dimensions, that there are other places we can stretch to and reach to. And there's a part of you in your dreams where you seek that ability to do the interdimensional shifting. You didn't materialize in the other dimension, but you were able to see the other dimension. And I do feel in your dream state, you actually do, you travel and you do see other dimensions and wake up and think that the dreams were just crazy. And they aren't, their reality. You have a depth of wisdom and a depth of understanding that is profound, and it does feel as though you do isolate yourself often because the mundane reality is just so trivial to you that sometimes other people's problems just are so stupid you just don't want to listen to them. You know, and not always, but I can hear you saying to yourself, "Dear God, why doesn't she just do something about it instead of just talking about it?" I don't know. It's sort of you lose patience with people who just talk and don't take action. And you are one of those that take action. Okay, Jen, what are you getting?
Emily, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Bizarre. I too saw a house, and it's in a field. And it's funny because it's a brightly lit field. So I don't, to me it wasn't a past life at all. I don't know if that's where you live now or you're going to live. And I see fences around it, and I see financial gain and prosperity. Does that make sense to you?
Well, not right now because financial prosperity is far from me.
Far from you. But you were wondering about your finances, weren't you?
I was.
Yes, you were. So now a really funny question for you is beef stroganoff or beef bourguignon?
Well, who wouldn't choose the beef bourguignon? Like,
were you eating it lately, or were you beef stew? Do you know what I'm talking about? Did you have beef stew?
Yeah, I think like a few weeks ago, my mom actually made a beef stew-like dish, or I think it was either her or my stepdad.
Okay, thank
you. One
of
them made some kind of stew with beef and vegetables.
You are weird.
I know I'm weird. Thank you. I can smell it. I could smell
and
it.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, it was a really delicious stew. And like we all kind of like praised my stepdad for making it, like a little bit. He did a really good job.
I'm glad. It smelled wonderful. It smelled absolutely wonderful. Oh, dear. So you're going to have some financial gain coming into your life and prosperity, okay?
Excellent.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit, but it is there. It's sitting there waiting for you, okay? I don't believe about the beef soup or stew. What I'm also seeing for you is that you're not seeing the trees. Like people say you can't see the forest through the trees. Do you understand that thing? The trees are right smack in front of you, my dear.
Right.
Okay. Take a moment to really appreciate what is right in front of you. What I'm being shown for you is the bark of the trees. Okay?
Okay.
Stop and take a good look at what you have and really appreciate what is there. I'm being shown the bark on these trees that is so intricate and so, tangible. It's not the word I want, but it's what I'm being given. And I can feel them and see them. And the essence of them is very, they're timeless. And that's what I'm being given for you. It's timeless. Take it and keep that with you.
Okay.
And that's going to carry you through. Okay?
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
I think yes, in a very way that I don't know that I can explain, but yes, it does make sense.
Yeah, ethereal way is what I'm being told, an ethereal way. Yeah. And I don't know how else to... I'm just being shown that, and I don't know why, but you do know why. Weirdness. But I'm being shown that house also that Barbara sees. But this is it's a upgraded house from the rustic one. Okay.
Well, ladies, I am very appreciative. This has been really a delight. So thank you both.
You're welcome. Very, very welcome. Thank you for calling.
Oh, stop, all right. Stop.
Sure.
Bike riding. Who rode the bicycle with the, it had a very straight handlebar?
Straight handlebar.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like, it's an old style bicycle. It's not a new one. It's a boy's bicycle. And it had a silver handlebar and it went straight across. It didn't have
Mike. Mhm. I think the only person that's coming to mind, like I know my stepdad has an older bike. I recently have been wanting to start biking more. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I know a friend of mine today mentioned she was going to buy a bike. I'm trying to think, bike.
I'm being shown a bicycle, and it's got someone's wrapping their hand around it. It's got a very straight, and I wrote it down when Barbara was talking. It's got a very straight handlebar. Instead of the curved, it's got a very straight handlebar straight across.
Okay.
Black handle grips, and it's silver, like a chrome silver.
All right.
And it looks like a boy's
bike. This is an antique.
Oh, do you know what? Okay, this, I don't know, but I know, like, the bike you just described sounds a lot like the bike that an ex-girlfriend of mine had. She was, like, a love interest, but it ended very terribly, and we do not talk. But I know that the bike you just described sounds a lot like a bike
the
that
one she
had.
Wore. Okay.
Yes. It was a newer bike, but it looked kind of like retro.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it does make perfect sense.
Okay. She was a huge biker. I have not spoken to her in well over probably about 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, antique retro look, yeah. But
yeah.
It had, yeah, straight, yeah, right across. Yeah, I'm being shown that.
You were just shown that there's nothing to it. Maybe it could just be I'm
validation.
Not sure either.
Validation.
Okay.
That, no, I was shown that, and I wrote it down. It's just it's like movie clips that get played.
Okay.
And but I was meant to tell you that. So it's just all validation that I've got the right person, that this is for you, that...
Oh, all right.
You know, that...
I think she's going to hear from this other person.
Oh.
I hear the bell ringing, yeah. Little bell. Ring, 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 ring.
God, I hope not. Oh no, ladies! What can I do to keep her away?
I think you're going to hear from her, and I think that from what I'm feeling is loose ends are going to be tied up. It's not annoying. It's not upsetting. It's tying up loose ends and being able to move on.
Yeah.
I guess.
Did she swing her leg a lot?
Trying to think. She did a lot of things a lot. She was quite a character.
Yeah, no, I'm being shown someone that, you know, sits there and swings their leg back and forth, wearing...
It could be, I know she's a very, I don't want to say cocky person, but I don't know. She's just a very interesting person. When you say swing her legs, you mean like somebody whose presence is very felt in a room?
Well, no, they're just sitting in a chair, and you know how you move your leg back and forth?
Okay.
Like nervous energy?
She definitely had a nervous energy about her, for sure, but very, I don't know what the word I'm trying to find. She had a nervousness to her, but she was also very cocky. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain.
It's like she was pushing off on something. Like, you know how you pushed off on a bike to get it going?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
That's what I'm showing, but she's doing that on a, like, sitting in a chair, just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it. I can try and describe it. And I'm given the initial L, big L now. L. Two L's.
Yeah.
L. They look like two L's. What I would consider an L, wrought iron.
No, her initials were S and G. I can't remember what her middle name is, though.
It doesn't matter. Just keep it with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Well, thanks. Thanks, Emily. You were fun.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
When you went into the L, all I could think of was Laverne and Shirley.
Well, isn't that funny? I'm thinking Lucille. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. So it could be...
Okey-dokey.
Someone's kicking...
Yeah. No, that was... I think you could have gone on forever on that one. We've got Parmala. Parmala? Hi, Parmala.
Yes.
Am I saying...
Hi, Parmala.
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 Okay.
Yeah, Pamela with an R in it.
If I say it and say it enough, sooner or later I'll hit on the right pronunciation.
That's okay, Barbara. And very nice to meet you, Jen.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. I'm also from the Northwest, by the way.
Oh, wonderful.
So when you were talking about your fir trees and your berry bushes and your weed whacking, I was right there with you.
Perfect. Whereabouts in the Northwest are you?
Well, we have property in Bellingham, Washington.
Perfect.
And we have 20 acres on top of Stewart Mountain, but I transferred to Salt Lake City, so right now it's under sale. You know, it's on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So how are you ladies today?
We're real, real well. You have heard that you we're not allowing you to ask a question. We're going to give you
what
we get.
Yeah, I have.
I do tell people if you have a question you have to have answered, that there are lots of wonderful shows and wonderful psychics out there that will answer absolute questions. It's just, to be honest with you, I think more interesting to let the spirit within us talk and see what and you know, it's really cool. I'm gonna steal a page out of Jen's book. I am smelling, I can't believe this. I'm smelling corn muffins cooking.
Oh yes. One of my favorite things to cook. Oh yeah.
Oh okay. Okay. Yeah.
I love making cornbread.
Oh my God! I can smell corn. Well, I corn muffins is what I was getting. What I'm feeling for you here is, I keep seeing you moving in new directions. I keep seeing you writing, and writing is really important to you. You should be writing, whether it's a journal or a book or a cookbook or a how-to book or something like that. But there's the element of writing within your energetic field that really has to be answered, and I do feel that you feel stuck, and that it's almost like you want to move forward, but you're not really sure how or where or what, you know. It's almost like I know I have to do something else. I just don't know what it is, and so. What I'm feeling here is that you need to get the creative juices flowing a little bit more than they already are. You need to open up some new channels for creativity so that the energy can flow in and kind of move you in the direction you need to go in. I do feel that there is a sense of needing to go in yet a new direction to open up the wilderness, so to speak, as far as your future goes. And this comes, it goes back to past lives. I seem to be, you know, really pulled back to past lives tonight. You were an explorer in a couple of your past lives, and it feels as though you really wanted to see what was across the horizon, what was around the next bend, and I see you constantly sort of looking to move into new directions. It feels as though I want to go back 400 years. And I want to put you in Canada, the area of Canada. And I know it's a very vast place. And you were one of those who always struck out into the that which was wild, that which had not been settled, because you enjoyed, first of all, you enjoyed the discovery. Second of all, you enjoyed looking at nature that had not been ruined, that had not been developed, that had not been cut down to make homes or to plant fields. You loved the wilderness, and you have that aspect within you to this day. You really love being where things are natural. It feels as though, you know, concrete cities and things like that, while they're exciting and they offer a lot of, you know, sensory you know, excitement, they don't give you the feeling of tranquility that being in nature does. excuse me. You did move all the way across Canada and up into Alaska in that lifetime I'm talking about. You don't like the cold. You froze to death in a couple of lifetimes, so you don't like the cold particularly. Or if you do like it, you have to really make sure that you are dressed super warm, because your toes and your fingers and your nose get cold really fast, and when that happens, you're up the creek. And what I'm finding is there is this element of exploration inside of you that is very exciting, and it does feel as though as you move forward for the next couple of months that job offers or job possibilities that allow you to explore, allow you to expand, allow you to you know, have your head, so to speak, are going to come up for you, and those are the areas that you're going to just revel in. You are a person who likes to find things that no one else has found, or likes to find ways of using things that other people haven't found. Whatever your career is, I feel that it's really good, and you're really good at it, but it's not your passion. And that you are beginning to get into what your passions are and develop them on the side, and it's beginning to open your spirit to a lot of excitement, a lot of new insight, and a lot of you know, new directions that you can go in, because you are constantly being drawn by the unknown. Now, I don't think you would book a passage on a spaceship quite, but I do think that anything that you haven't done before is intriguing to you. Maybe sometimes scary, but intriguing on top of that. You had a lifetime in which, and this only goes back a couple hundred years. Actually, you were one of those idiots that went over Niagara Falls in a barrel and didn't quite make it. You were someone who always sought adventure and thrills, and in that one particular lifetime, you were male and you were in your early 30s, and you were sure that you could go over the falls in a barrel and survive, and it would make you rich because people would want to, you know, interview you and stuff like that. Instead, you died. So waterfalls may not hold great, you know, pull to you. I think you probably appreciate their beauty, but you don't really want to get too close to them because of that past life where you did go over one and it took you out. I'm also smelling here honeysuckle. So does the flower honeysuckle have any relevance to you at all? Oh, wait a minute. I quieted you because you...
You
I'm
did.
Sorry.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Honeysuckle.
Yes, definitely. I grew
a massive honeysuckle in Bellingham at my property, along with wisteria, and just the smells. Because I, too, just adore the smells.
Mm.
Yeah. So I had a mass. It's massive.
Oh,
huge.
Cool. Oh, okay, Jen, what are you smelling?
What am I smelling? Wow. Actually, what I got for you, Parmala, is I love the fact that you came from the Northwest. I think we've got beautiful country up here. The honeysuckle. I was really fortunate this week because I saw some red and purple honeysuckle, and I haven't seen that before. So I'm really waiting until that blooms so I can really get the scent of that. Right now all the wild roses are blooming, and they're just incredible, along with the blackberries. So I don't know if you recall all those scents. It's just...
Oh, I do. I do.
So where
blackberries
I walk,
were a nemesis to me.
They are a nemesis. They're an invasive plant species now.
I know.
It's kind of too bad, but there you go. And where I walk, we can see all the way over to Bellingham, mm-hmm. Anacortes, all the San Juan Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's just incredible, the views
yeah.
we get. But what I'm pulling in for you right now is some anxiety and purpose and life changes for you. And what is that taste? It's almost like, I'm just going to keep going with this because the taste is coming. You're quite the baker.
I am.
You are the baker, and it's who wears the hat? It's like it's a cowboy hat, but not. And it's
my
twin not
sister.
Your twin sister. Okay,
mm-hmm.
okay, it's not the chili. So
I'm award-winning chili. Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. But there's another hat, and. I want to say Denby, and I don't know why I say Denby, but there you go. And I don't
mm-hmm.
know what the baking is. I made rhubarb crisp, but it's not rhubarb I'm smelling. It is, what is it? Keep going. It'll come to me. What are you using? I'm not a really great baker. I really don't like baking. I like doing big meals. I'm not.
Could it be a Lebanese lamb, which has coumadin and coriander, and it's just this wonderful smell of nutmeg and things like that. That's one of my favorite things to cook and bake. But dessert wise.
It would be a dessert, and I'm trying to
okay.
pin it down because
All right.
it's something I'm not. What I'm getting is like a Greek yogurt. It's mixed in with the yogurty kind of thing.
Okay, I do an angel food cake with a center made of pudding and yogurt.
And what's that smell? Like it's a peculiar
it's
thing to me. It's what?
Yeah. It's the cinnamon.
No, it wouldn't be the cinnamon.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I know cinnamon because my mouth fills with it. And I'll tell you why I know that. Because I called my girlfriend out on it in the middle of the store once. her mom and her dad came through with the smell of cinnamon. It just, and I said to her, you were cooking with cinnamon last night. And she said, how do you know? I said, I know. I said, because my mouth is filled with it. I said, you use too much of it. And she says, as a matter of fact, I did. I'm also being shown a duck or a goose for you. And it's certainly not a seagull. It's a duck or a goose.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure who the silly goose is in your life, but
mm-hmm.
they they're just playing that role right now. And if I were you, I wouldn't be pulled into that realm anymore.
Okay.
It gets tired pretty quickly. You're going to tire of that role pretty quickly, of them playing that. It's really not an attractive role for someone to play, and it is what I would consider a passive-aggressive thing, or what I call a passive manipulation thing.
Right.
It's, you're always being like, really, do I have to like do this again? Yeah, right. And it does fill you with anxiety. There are going to be life changes for you. And once again, that can fill you with anxiety. No need to worry about it, though. Worry is something that we're just borrowing. And, you know, I'm one of the biggest worriers of all time. You know, as the Beatles said, let it be. Just let it be, and it will be okay.
Thank you.
And that's what I've got for you.
Thank you so much, Jen.
You're welcome.
I want to give you something else, too, and it's from James von Prague. I mean, I'm not channeling him, but because he's still here. But go figure. Anyhow, I wrote a quote down from him, and I want to give you the quote. I don't usually do this, but I always give credit to if I know who said something, because otherwise they'll haunt me. And you have fear of something, and I'm not sure what it is, and it's not horrible, it's not anxiety stuff, but his definition of fear is false ego appearing real.
Wow. How profound.
And that's a profound statement. Yeah, and I really think that you can apply it to some place in your life, and understand that whatever it is that is giving you that anxiety, as Jen said, there was an anxiety thing. Whatever was triggering the anxiety is false ego appearing real. So
amazing.
Wish I could take credit for that quote. That's a good one. Maybe
I can.
And
I just, anxiety rears its ugly heads. Barbara mentioned the earthquakes up in Alaska.
I was reading it as you were talking.
Yeah, there's a tsunami warning.
I know. It's downgraded. It's downgraded. But yes, that was pretty interesting. And as you guys were first talking about it, I was cruising the net, and that's when I saw they had a 7.9, occlusion. So anyway, ladies, thank you so much. I'm sure there's other people that want to talk to you, and I truly appreciate the honesty.
You're so welcome. And thank you for the lovely smells.
You're welcome.
Yes, and anytime you want to share your baking, please.
Okay, will do.
Okay, take it easy now. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And I have to tell you, Jen, that I have found that when, two people work together, that they do sort of blend energies to a certain extent. I don't normally get smells. And when I work with Ray Booker, I get music. So it's so cool.
I just love doing what we do. Like, I don't know when I started getting smells, and I always have, I guess. And then, I always smelt the cigarette smoke or the cigars or pipes, campfire, whatever. And then all of a sudden, it just grew more and more. And like I said, the night I was talking to my girlfriend Lynn, and my mouth filled with cinnamon. And it was like, are you kidding me? And then, you know, I'd get stinky cheese or, and I just think, oh, peanut butter, oh, the worst, and stuff like that, and licorice or fennel, and just weird stuff. And I think, what is that? And some of the stuff I don't know, and it's almost like I have to go out and find out what that smell is now. What is that that I'm tasting or smelling, because it's so unusual. And I cooked with some really fresh rosemary last night, and it was just to die for. And they wanted thyme. The recipe called for thyme, and I said to the family, I don't have thyme. And they all start laughing, right? So I went out and I bought some thyme today. I bought some thyme. And but they had a couple of different kinds, and it was just like, oh, this is incredible. So I think that's really cool that I'm being blessed with this, you know, download of scents, What kind of S did you see? Make sense of the scents. So, you know, how cool is that?
It's a very cool talent and gift, absolutely. And like I said, I don't normally get the smells. I get other stuff, but the smells are, you know, I smell most when I'm around you.
Well, you know, music is, you know, I get music, and you know, Ray and I have talked about that, and that's always fun. You know, you hear a song, you go, yeah, I can get that, and whatever. Names are pretty, you know, whatever. But
yeah. No, the other stuff is
times
profound.
Pardon me?
I said, you know, the other stuff is very profound. I mean, come on, that's quite a gift.
I guess. I'm not very good with times, so times, here it comes again. Maybe that's why I had to go buy time. I dates and that, like, and you and I have talked about that.
I really believe that the more you are able to use your gift, and truly use your gift, which is what we're doing tonight, I think that's you know, I have always looked upon doing the free readings as a form of service, because not everybody can afford to pay for readings and stuff like this, and so giving readings away is a cool thing. But at the same time, after you've done a couple thousand, you know, you realize that you're not growing as well, and that's supposed to happen too. So setting us free to give what we get allows us to stretch ourselves and us to grow further. And you know, people are so kind to let us, you know, dip into past lives and find other things out about them and give them the information we get. But in allowing us to give what we get, you're allowing us to stretch and grow. And hopefully there is something more profound coming to you from spirit, because we are able to just, you know, give you what we get, catch what's flying by, instead of whatever it was that was a personal mundane issue at this moment in time. And mundane, I just mean a physical reality issue that you're struggling with, as opposed to letting us really give you something from spirit that you can possibly use to enrich yourself and then make the mundane all the better, all the gooder.
Everything's gooder.
Yes, it is. Okay, we've got Cindy here. Hi, Cindy. How are you doing tonight?
I am well. How are you, Barbara?
Absolutely fabulous. Absolutely. So you know the protocol here. We're going to just...
Yeah, I've been enjoying your little readings, yes.
Oh, they are interesting.
Yes, they are.
I'm finding the sparkly things. I keep seeing sparkly things all around you. I see fireflies. I see faceted gemstones. I see you have the kind of energy that absolutely radiate and sparkles And you had to be a crow or a raven in a past life or had one as a pet, because sparkly, you know, if it sparkles, you must have it. If it sparkles, you have to look at it. If it sparkles, you want to touch it and feel it and fondle it. You've had many lifetimes in which that element, that sparkle, that charisma, you have a charisma that is profound. I would say that this lifetime, when you walk into a room, people have to stop and look at you. And it's not you may be an amazing, beautiful person, but all I know is that your energy demands that people pay attention to you, that eyes are drawn to you, and they wouldn't be able to explain why, except energetically, you demand attention. You don't do it on a personal level. You don't, you're not a domineering, forceful personality. You're a very sweet, kind, loving personality. But the energy that you emit, it's sort of like you've got an amazing charisma that you radiate that you know has from time to time probably gotten you into a bit of trouble. If I go back lifetime wise with you, you have been a person of power. You have been a person of strength. You have wielded great power in many past lifetimes. You know, if I take you back 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years, you have been one who had the energy and the charisma to sway the hearts and the spirits and the souls and the consciousnesses of great groups of people. And in the several lifetimes that I'm seeing here, you always did it with wisdom and with kindness, so that you were one who brought new philosophy, new understanding to great numbers of people. You were of noble birth I want to go to the Bavaria area, and you really and this goes back, I want to say 3,500 years, and it, in that particular area you had a tremendous amount of land. You were one who, you were kind of a philosopher in that people would bring problems to you and you would mediate so that there were not wars, so that there were not, confrontations, so that everybody felt, safe, and everybody walked away from the table thinking they had gotten the best deal while it was equitable and you were fair and that you were kind to everyone. I want to take you back even further. You're one of those energies that just... I want to take you back probably 25,000 years. I want to take you back to a lifetime when you were absolutely not on this planet, where your energy was, I want to say, in the stars, and I don't know where. I can't pick one out. But you were, this is where you evolved to the Earth plane from. And it feels as though you, at that particular point in time, I don't think you were of, I don't think that your energy, your etheric energy, your soul spirit energy was humanoid, because I'm not getting that feeling. But there was a sense of density of sorts, and the color turquoise seems to radiate greatly from you. And yet it was turquoise with sparkles, with fairy dust in it. And when you chose to come to the Earth plane, there was a sense of, I don't know if I can take that particular shape. It looked clumsy to you. So from time to time, I have a feeling that you feel clumsy. And not able to be as etheric as you would like to be, because the human form for you is a very dense one. And in your sleep, you absolutely do travel. You don't go backwards, but you there's a part of you that just wants to let go of the, you understand that you have to be in this form in order to experience this physical reality, and you've done it lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. But there is a sense of, this human body is annoying to you, and it doesn't do what you want it to do most of the time. And it does feel to me here as though your eyes are not as good as you'd like them to be, as they should be, as you feel they should be, because you have vision beyond what your physical eyes can see, and it frustrates you greatly that you're not able to make your visions more a part of your reality. Can you relate to that?
Oh, yes. That's totally right on the mark. I can understand what you're saying, yes.
Cool. Okay, let Jen come in here. Jen, what are you getting?
Well, I had to laugh when you said turquoise, and I'm glad that I hopefully muted me because I started laughing. When we do this together, and you know, I write stuff down as you know, the flood of energy comes in, and that was one of the words I got was turquoise, and I just started laughing because it was one of the first things that came, and I just thought, oh my goodness, Barb has just said that. And there's no way that you would know what I've written down. So that's so funny because it plays a large part in your life. I also got that you are either barefoot or you've got bare feet right now, Cindy.
Yes, of course.
Because so I'm going to cross that little one off my list, and what I get for you is that it's like you're looking through a keyhole. Now, if you recall, if you look through an old door, and they had the skeleton keys.
Yes.
And you know the key holes they had in those old doors?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I'm showing for you. Like one of those door locks, and it's the old skeleton keyhole in a brass fitting. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was showing for you. And I'm also being shown that you had a dog friend, that you're an animal lover, and that you had a dog that was very close to you at one time. And that he is around you or she is around you. I'm certain it's in this life. And I'm also being shown that... this is really... Barbara's... I listened to Barbara, and yet I didn't, because I don't want to be repeating, but I think I'm going to be. I'm getting the word moccasins for you. So in the past life, and now I know Barbara went back like millions of years almost,
mm-hmm.
but I get that you wore moccasins. That you had moccasins, and that there was three feathers given to you, and that's when I wrote down that turquoise played an extraordinary part in your life,
mm-hmm.
and that crystals also played an extraordinary part in your life, and that the number three plays, and I'm supposed to say it again, an extraordinary part in your life. And that is carried through from your past lives. So, this is what I'm being told. So, there's the keyhole that you look through all the time. And it's as if you want to go back there. Wow. And you can do your astral traveling. It's like you're floating or you're flying. And you're like a bird caged. A bird in a cage. And it's very possible that your soul or your spirit does this. And it's not a bad thing. It's a really great thing when we experience this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being shown freedom for you. Oh. And like orchard trees. So apple trees specifically. And I'm also being told to tell you that in this life, you will accomplish, you will be accomplishing what you set out to do from your last life. And I'm being shown that the fields you've toiled in, this makes no sense to me, that the job you started will be finished. So it's like the people you've helped along the way, you're a people helper. That's weird. You obviously help a lot of people and expect nothing in return. That cycle will be finished. And you will be rewarded for that. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it sure does. I'm going through a switch and hopefully becoming my own person. But, yeah, I'm the people helper and doesn't expect anything in return. And all of a sudden I'm viewing the people in my surroundings in a different way.
Yeah, and I think that's what this keyhole is all about. It's really hard to get through at this, and it's not just an old lady or an old man or whatever. It's the universe is showing me this, so it's really difficult to put it all into words. It's like looking down on you and saying, this is nearly done. This job
of yours. I totally
agree
with you.
Is
I know
nearly
exactly
done.
What you're talking about.
Okay. It's not like your life is nearly done. Because you've got a whole lot more to do.
Right.
Like you've got a whole lot more to do. But this little phase, and I'm going to call it a phase.
Yes.
Is nearly done. Thank
Great.
Goodness. Thank goodness.
That's
what I'm going to say. Thank goodness. It's like, yeah, you're going to, it's like the cul-de-sac. You're nearly at the end of the cul-de-sac, and you can rest easy. Put the park bench out, and you can rest easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start on your next, whatever you want to do, because that will be your time. You can finally put the key into that lock. You'll be handed the key, and that door, or whatever door you choose, you can do.
Well, that's totally fabulous. That's true. I believe you, yes. I know that.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's what I'm being shown. And it's like Barbara, you know, said, you know, with the crystals or the shiny, sparkly things yeah, it's just like, how can she look at my piece of paper when I'm not even there?
Great.
It's funny that you should say that. I just recently bought a vest type of jacket, and it's just threaded with all kinds of sparkly threads in it. And I had a couple of friends say, oh, I like that that vest, and then they kept looking at it. Oh, it sparkled. And that was just a recent purchase.
And there you go. You're guided to do that. That is so cool.
How does the turquoise fit in, the color?
Well, I'll tell you, my eyes are seafoam green. And that's it's a dusty turquoise color.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wear that color, and I wear a lot of that color, my eyes just pop.
I can believe it.
Oh, cool.
It's a form of turquoise, but it's a dusty seafoam green shade. So everything you both said is absolutely true. I'm getting really close to the end of this phase that I'm going through, and all of a sudden I'm just kind of sitting back and watching everyone around me or the people I've allowed into my life and
mm-hmm.
saying, what are you doing? Stop waiting on people.
That's funny because I was just showing you at a table and with a big cup of, I don't know if it's cappuccino or espresso or whatever.
Lattes. I just had a friend for a week, and every morning before he can even have my latte, which is my private quiet time, I have to make her one.
There you go. I don't know what they're called. I don't drink that. I just have my, it's just a big steaming cup of whatever,
no,
right?
Yeah. Lattes.
Lattes. Okay, there you go. I'll have to remember that's what they're called, a latte.
I just went through a whole week of that and said, I'm sick of it. I want to have my latte first.
Good for you. Good for you. I'm glad.
Well, totally
thank
fabulous.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you, Cindy, for calling. We greatly appreciate your waiting and sharing your time with us.
Well, I greatly appreciate both of you. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for calling again.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye
now.
Yeah, that was fun. Okay, we've got Lisa, I think. Wait, hold on a second. We almost have Lisa. Hi, Lisa, are you there? Hello, Lisa. Going once, Lisa. Going twice, Lisa.
Yes,
okay.
I'm here.
Oh. you came close.
Sorry.
Okay.
It was on mute by mistake.
Okay. No, that does happen. It's just I had one night somebody fall asleep while they were waiting, and when I opened the microphone, I got the best snoring ever, and.
Funny.
I have to say we chuckled and I kept saying, are you there? Are you there? And the snoring, it was a good snoring too.
It was
and
a good
was it with you, Jen?
I think it was. It was a delicious snore.
Yeah, I mean and we kind of quietly put her on hold again and came back to her later and asked if she had a good nap.
Funny.
And she said, yes, she did. It was a good snore. So, Lisa, for you, I keep hearing aviaries. I keep hearing bird sanctuaries. I keep seeing tons and tons of birds just flying into the sky as you know, in great big crowds. You know how when birds migrate, they swarm and then they all lift up at the same time, and they all go as though they were a cloud of feathers. And I keep hearing it's time to take flight. It's time to let go of the things that are holding you down. It's time to spread your wings. It's time to open up to the wonders and the glories and the amazing things that you carry within yourself. It feels as though I'm hearing that you've been almost afraid to spread your wings, and you're at a point in time now here that it's okay, that you feel as though you're ready, and it feels as though what you're doing is you're moving towards a time of not. I don't think you are literally going to be flying, but you're going to feel like your wings are spread, and it almost feels as though your shoulders feel tight. And it's you know, it's not that you're going to grow wings, but it feels that there is a tightness in your shoulders and your back that probably is going to be alleviated as soon as you make the changes in your life that you're about to make. And I do feel that there are changes that you're making. I feel strongly that there is a call inside of you. You know that it's almost like it's a term I use often. You're driven and you don't know where you're going. You're called and you don't know where to answer. And that's a sign that a lot of the spiritual energy in you is revving up so that and I'm not saying you're going to walk on water, though you could. I mean, if it's frozen, you could. But there's a sense of coming into your own and a sense of embracing the talents and the skills and the gifts that you've brought through time, again, I don't feel that necessarily you're going to become a practicing anything immediately, but I do feel that the talent and the skill is there. I do feel that you know, understanding yourself on a more spiritual level and delving into your spirituality to a greater degree would be of great benefit to you. And I would absolutely look to understanding, you know, the element of spirituality and how you need to touch into yourself and work with yourself, because it's really important that you get into that aspect. I keep seeing these birds just flying, taking off, and they're all, for the most part, they're white. I see seagulls, I see cranes, I see it's mostly white.
It's
birds.
Amazing.
That I see.
Oh my God. I can't believe
sure.
that. I mean, it's just like I'm moving in a week out west. I just can't believe this reading. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I'm like just going through a lot of changes, and I mean, the white
good.
Bird thing makes sense. Yeah, it's really good. The white bird thing, like dove, peace, love, happiness.
Yeah, no, I feel like you have been released from prison, and that
yeah.
you are finally seeking the freedom of your spirit and your soul that was important for this lifetime. You've been through, I would say there it's definitely been a roller coaster ride. There definitely have been valleys and peaks, and I think that you have struggled greatly, but I do feel that the intense, the difficult, the really, really gut-wrenching stuff is over. There are certainly going to be challenges ahead, but they aren't anywhere going to be near as bad as they have been in the past. And I do feel that you are coming into your own on a spiritual level. It does feel as though you are moving more towards where your soul needs to be, more where you will feel nurtured by the environment and the land that you're going to be moving to, and it feels as though you're going home. Though I don't know that you actually in this lifetime, it's not exactly, I don't think, where home is, but it does feel as though you're going to feel as though you're going home. And when you do make the move, it's going to be a relief and a release, and your energy is going to flow much better. Jen, what are you getting?
What about friends? Do you feel like you need a whole new...
Well, wait, let Jen
that?
Go. Let
okay.
Jen go.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
What I get right away for you is the smell of burnt toast or burnt popcorn.
I'm eating burnt popcorn right now! It's crazy. Okay.
Crazy lady, hey, crazy reader. Isn't that funny how that works? Shouldn't be eating burnt popcorn. I can smell it. And
it's good, though.
Oh, goodness, 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 Lisa. And I hear someone screaming in your ear all the time. Someone yaps in your ear constantly. Don't know who that is. They don't have any place yapping in your ear constantly. That must be really annoying to you, because it's certainly annoying to me, and I'm not even there. And what I get is that you're looking at prints in the newspaper. That is really significant. Adverts in the newspaper. And I don't know if that has something to do with you moving or what, but what I was getting was prints in the newspaper. And so that must be, I was going to ask you, must be with you, to do with you moving. And I'm also getting the movie Old Yeller for you. And I don't know if you know of the movie Old Yeller.
I heard of it, like it was a beautiful story about a dog or something that they
yeah,
found,
boy.
But I don't know.
It's a coming-of-age story, and so just talk
what
about...
What happens in it? The dog helps the boy become a man or something?
Yeah, and then he saves the boy, and they have to destroy the dog at the end, and it's pretty sad. And
oh my God.
Yeah. So it's I don't even know what kind of dog it is, actually, but that came through loud and clear for you. And if it's if it don't know. And I also got railroad tracks and pixie dust. So you are, and that's pardon?
Oh my God. Like, what does that mean, railroad tracks?
That means you're going to be moving.
Yes.
So, and you'd already validated that because you jumped in and told Barbara.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm moving in 5 days. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's just more validation of what I'm saying. And I also get that the song Michael wrote about a shore, which means that you're going home, going to a place that you consider home, that will feel more like home to you.
Okay.
And that's what I've got for you. Okay, Lisa?
Okay, and Lisa, we have one more we got to squeeze in, so thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. I'm going to listen, so thank you both.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, one more here. We've got Julia, I think. Hi, Julia.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, our pleasure. We have our new policy, so Jen and
yep.
I are going to give you what we get.
Okay.
I'm feeling, oh my God, you're a healer. There's tremendous healing energy here, and you've done this in past lives. I see four or five different ones. One in the Pacific Northwest where you were a native person, and it feels as though you were constantly gathering herbs, gathering plants. You were a plant lady for sure in this particular lifetime. Goes back, I'm going back, 400 or 500 years, and it feels as though that affinity for the earth, the affinity for plants is with you this lifetime. You don't have to be a fanatic, though you could be, and it does feel as though you like to reach out and touch plants, living things. You like to feel their energy. You like to, in that past life, when you were a shaman and you gathered herbs and roots and bark and things like that to carry and to pack, I can see you gathering them and putting them in what looked like baskets of some sort, and that they were tied onto a horse when you moved around and stuff like that, but that you always had a supply of all sorts of wonderful, wonderful ingredients to be able to utilize for the common ailments that came about during that time frame, and you were taken care of. You were treasured. You were valued by the tribe that wherein you served. And it's interesting because you would always walk around and choose a young girl who was a member of the tribe to train in order to pass your gifts and talents and skills onto. And it was a very serious thing, and it was an honor to be chosen. Didn't mean that they couldn't have, a family and stuff like that too, but in order to transfer your knowledge, transfer your wisdom, you were very, very selective, and it was fascinating how you basically would take each young girl when she became of age, 16, 17, you would walk with her in the forest, and those who had a natural inclination for the same gifts that you have, that was the one that was chosen. If I take you back even further, I want to take you back to Europe. I want to take you back to the 13, 1400s. Again, you were one who worked with plants and gardens. You were very, very in demand in the France, Spain, Italy area, and you would design gardens for nobility. You were the one that would grow the plants, and you would get the amazing gardens going, and you would train people, and then you would move on. And it was a wonderful, wonderful profession for you, because first of all, you didn't like to be locked in one place for any great length of time, and secondly, you loved working with the different plants in the different areas. They called to you, they drew you. It was really amazing. You would sit down and you would create labyrinths with plants. You would do meditative labyrinths and build them so that, you know, people could walk in, and the walking labyrinth was very much a part of your venue and what you created for people. So you had a sense of a spiritual self that wasn't necessarily, you know, you didn't go into explaining what it was you were doing. You just did them and knew that it was important for people to walk to the center and then walk out again quietly and in silence. You had great wisdom that you knew what you were doing was profound, but you didn't exactly know why, but you did. You did profoundly beautiful gardens that you know, the remnants are still around in Europe. You bring those skills with plants, those skills with smells, those skills with, you know, with touch, and you may create patterns and things out of different materials now, but you are one who creates, I want to say mosaics of sorts, because, oh, I want to take you back even further, because you've done mosaics in Italy and Sicily, back a couple thousand years. You were a person who did mosaics, like, I mean, they were beautiful. And this lifetime, you have a connection to mosaics in some way, shape, or form, that putting little pieces of things together to create patterns is just something that you love doing. And it feels as though there's a richness to it that really feeds your spirit, feeds your soul, and it's a passion for you in sorts. You had another lifetime where you created stained glass windows in France and England way, way back, and the colors there, the pieces, little pieces fit together. What do you do with little pieces this lifetime?
No fair. No fair.
Okay. little pieces, you know, all put together. It's
sticky
amazing.
Sticky packed little houses.
Yes. You've made jewelry with mosaics with the
opal
stuff. What, no fair? Are you getting all this too?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Jen. You take it from there.
I'm just going to tell you quick what I've got, and then you can tell us, because this is so funny. I find it really amusing when it's funny, and yet it's just so incredibly wonderful. What I'm getting for you is the name B.J. Thomas, and he did the song Hooked on a Feeling, and I don't know if you know that song, Julia.
Yes, I do. Yep.
Is it important to you?
Not off the top of my head, but it is. I remember it.
Okay, so just keep that for me, please, and thank you. Put it on a shelf, as we say. And I'm
okay.
Also getting strawberries and strawberry wine. The smell of strawberries is literally filling my room right now, like strawberry shortcake, strawberry wine, strawberry cider. I don't normally have strawberries around, but they are absolutely filling my room.
I had strawberry eclair yesterday, or a cream puff, a strawberry cream puff, and it was wonderful. I was actually mooning as I was eating it.
the smell is incredible, and so thank you. What I've got is that you made mandalas, mm-hmm. I don't know, and that you were an artist and were right into artistry, and that you were a silversmith. And that you did jewelry making or were your hands are covered in silver. Oh, I see that. And they're very intricate pieces, extremely intricate pieces. Also that you were you did nail work. Now this is really, it's like, do you know the nails that they put into horses' feet, a forger?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is what I see you doing. Like, you've got a blacksmith. You're a blacksmith also. And you're pounding on the what's that called?
The anvil.
Anvil, yes. I see you pounding on the anvil, heating it, putting the shoe in the water, cooling it down, and then reworking it. That was in the past life, but I also see you doing something like that now, and I don't know what you are doing with your hands, but it's very intricate work. I don't know if it's a hobby or if it is what you do, but I also see stained and leaded windows.
Are you...
Yeah,
is there any more? Well, I just didn't want to interrupt you.
So. No, just I see so many colors with you. Gold.
Yeah, fill us in on this, please.
Okay. All right. I'm extremely drawn to nature. I love the beauty of nature. I've actually lived in the Pacific Northwest. I've been told that I have a Native American guide as far as plants. I love the beauty of, you know, plants. I don't have a lot of plants myself, but I love to be in nature and see the beauty of nature. As far as mosaics and patterns, I don't do that, but I did get a degree in interior design, and I'm drawn to color. And as far as stained glass, I love, absolutely love stained glass. I don't know what it is, but I'm just very drawn to it. I have, you know, several pieces, a light and some, like, little, you know, the kind that you hang them so the light shines through in the window and that. I told you about the strawberries. I think the artist part and the mandalas are part of, you know, I picked up a little bit of that. I haven't really done anything with it yet.
With your interior design. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
As far as the jewelry in that, I'm extremely drawn to filigree jewelry, not just, you know, bold pieces. I love filigree.
Oh,
so, yes. So that's exactly, you know, I actually have some pieces of filigree jewelry because that's like, I love that intricate work. When I see it, it's just, my eyes are just like right to it. It's like, oh, yes, yes, you know, so right on, ladies. How exciting. That was fun.
Oh, filigree. I could not remember the name of that. And, you know, that is the hardest part of doing this, is that we see it. And like the anvil, I know exactly what it is, but trying to get that word out. Oh!
Well, it's not a word you use in any regular conversation, so that was so much fun. Thank you. I've got a big smile on my face. That was wonderful to hear that. So thank you both for sharing that with me.
Oh, thank you for bringing it all to the table. You know, it really... it just kept rolling. I mean, I would suggest that you you download some mandalas from the internet for coloring and color them as a meditation.
I wanted to tell you one more thing. You did bring up the labyrinth. I have labyrinth tarot cards.
Ah!
So,
oh wow!
I thought that was funny because there's a card deck of labyrinths. Yeah. So.
Well, you once designed them, and you did magnificent ones. So thank you so much. I just,
well,
you know, it's so cool to get confirmation like that. Thank you for calling, and
thank you
for waiting as long as you did.
thank you so much.
All right. Have a great night, ladies.
You too. Good night.
Thank you. Night.
Well, it's been fun again.
This has been wonderful. What a great way to do it.
I just love reading this way because it first of all, you get confirmation on stuff so that, you know, if you're playing with past lives and things like that and can relate it to this life, it gives you confirmation and it gives people insight as to where their talents and their skills have come from and sort of reconfirms that they do have a talent and a gift that they thought they had but they weren't sure. So it is terribly, terribly fun. Thank you, Jen, so much. I so appreciate it, and I will see you Thursday night over at Chris's. Everybody else, Chris's show starts in 45 seconds. Curious times. Absolutely head over there because she has Christina Nelson on tonight, and she's a hoot and a holler too. So, Jen, thank you. You are spectacular as always, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, and we will talk to you later. Thank you, and blessings for having me.
Oh, please. It's been my pleasure, totally. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Everybody else, thank you, Deb, for a job well done. I so appreciate and treasure your energy here. And I will see the rest of you hopefully on Wednesday with Nick Fox. And have a wonderful evening, and stay well. Namaste.